I'm glad that you all are here. It's Friday night, and guess what? Some of you are shocked to see me dressed like this. You know, I was trying to hold this as a surprise for you. You know, I didn't want anybody to see me earlier, but I wanted to stand up so you could see, wow, look at Brother Jim. He actually looks like a real preacher, you know. But like I told someone earlier, folks, I take this ceremony we're about to partake of very seriously. And, you know, it's been a long time that I actually led this ceremony. I have partaken in the Lord's Supper over and over and over and over. But it's been a very, very long time. I mean, I'm thinking back 8-9 years that I actually led this ceremony in a church. But we are the Church of Jesus Christ, all of us here who are gathered here tonight in His name, because we know the Scriptures. It says, when two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst of us, and He is within us. We have been born again. We are united together in mind, body, and spirit. I thank you for being here on this special occasion. I thank you for being here on this event. It's wonderful for me to present it to you and to give you a little insight to this. Lisa was the one that kind of asked me about it. And to be honest with you, I never given it any thought. I never thought about performing this service for you, you know, online, you know. And when she told me that, I started thinking, you know what? That's a good idea. You know, and there's some people out there in some churches that have a problem with performing the Lord's Supper online. Oh, it can't be online. That's not right. That is wrong. We don't do that. You know, it's got to be done in church. It's got to be done in our local organizations. Well, folks, who do they think they are? We're the church. We're gathered together in the means of using video chat. But see, they forgot one most important thing, like I told Lisa, which I tell many other pastors, look, you got a problem. Because Jesus said, when we partake of this supper, who are we supposed to do this for? Not for the local body, not for the local church, not for show, not for sell. But we're supposed to do this in remembrance of Him. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight. We're going to be doing this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for what He has done for us on the cross. You know, I get it because, you know, our church has ordinances. We got baptism and Lord's Supper. Many other churches do. Sometimes they got a little bit more. Okay, look, folks, doing it in church is fine. I agree with that. But right now, we are in a corporate worship. We're gathered together to partake of this solemn event and honoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So, I'm glad that you're here. It is wonderful. I had to dig in some of my older messages because it's been a long time that I have went over this, and I'm deeply honored to be standing here before you tonight to present to you the Lord's Supper. So let us be serious about what we're about to partake in, and I want us to think of something very important. To properly observe the ordinances of the Lord's Supper, we need a spirit of seriousness and at the same time, an attitude of joyful celebration. Folks, we need to have the spirit of seriousness and we need to have the attitude of joyful celebration because this is what we're doing tonight. In fact, it may be day for you, I don't know. But see, folks, we're using this to the internet. And we should have a joyful attitude where we should be happy. Wow, I get to partake of the Lord's Supper. See, memorializing an event, or memorializing, if you want to say it that way, I'm a location boy, so memorializing an event as significant as the death of Jesus Christ should fill us with a spirit of awe and deepest reverence. See, responding to the redemptive purpose in that event, it should cause us to celebrate the greatness of God's love for us. And before we partake of the Lord's Supper, let us seek an attitude of both seriousness and celebration as we consider this sacred experience before us. And Paul, quoting the Lord, he declares that we are to partake of the bread and the cup in remembrance of our Lord. And as we do so, we are actually proclaiming the fact of his redempted death on the cross. We need to do this for our own heart's sake, for our own heart's good, and for the salvation of others. We need to do this, folks, in remembrance of him, for the good of our hearts and for the salvation of other people. So while we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper during this ceremony, let us consider four reasons why we should proclaim the death of our Lord as a great redemptive act that has significance for all people. Four reasons why we are honoring the Lord's Supper. And this is how important it is, folks. The first reason is why we partake of the Lord's Supper. The death of Jesus reveals the awfulness of sin. The death of Jesus reveals the awfulness of sin. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. And look what it says. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. And when you look at this, my friends, the Scriptures declares to us, it declares that our sins were the reason. And listen to this carefully. It declares that our sins were the reason for the death of Jesus Christ. Now, this may seem strange to a person of the 21st century who hears this for the first time, like, what? I don't know what he's talking about. It may seem odd. It doesn't seem odd to you and I who are born-again believers. But for someone out there who may be listening to this message later on and hearing this, what I'm saying, I know I don't record the video, but I'm recording video. For the first time, a person who's not a born-again believer, when they hear about this, that Jesus had to die for our sins, may seem odd to them, but he had to. That was God's only redemptive plan for us. We all, every one of us who are here tonight, those who will listen to this later, those who are not born again believers, those who never have accepted Jesus Christ into their hearts, they are under the wrath of God. And folks, you know me, I preach the truth. And those who never accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior do not make it to heaven. That's what sin does to people. Sin separates us from God. But God had to formulate a plan to redeem us, to bring us back to him. And that's why Jesus had to die on that cross. And also because of our sins, we notice this fact. The angel told Joseph himself that a son who will be born of Mary would save his people from their sins. How so? Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Look what it says right there. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And we also know that John the Baptist himself, he announced at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away sin of the world." And Peter himself, who first resisted the thought of Jesus must die, later interpreted that death in terms of its... Let me back it up. Peter, in fact, interpreted his death very significant for us. He realized it then because, see, Peter, we knew he was kind of a little hothead. But see, later on, he interpreted that because of his death. It was significant for us. It had to be. He fully understood it. He himself, that's what he says, he himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. But you want to see this in a little bit more detail? Look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 to 25. He outlines the whole thing right there. That's when he realized the significance of his death for us. Like I said, he resisted earlier. He didn't want the Lord to die. But see, he did not understand why he had to die. He couldn't comprehend it at first. But later on in these passages, he knew. He knew. And like I said, he said himself, he himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. In remembrance of what Jesus did, we see the cross. We're confronted with the fact that each of us is a sinner and in need of God's forgiveness. All of us are sinners. All of us need God's forgiveness. This message is proclaimed as we partake of the Lord's Supper. The second reason of the Lord's Supper, the death of Jesus reveals the greatness of God's love for sinners. That's right. The death of Jesus reveals the greatness of God's love for sinners. How so? Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. Look what it says, folks. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Paul himself even declared to the Roman believers back then. Look what he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And this is what he's saying. "But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us. That's the greatness of his love for sinners. And folks, only with the help of the Holy Spirit can we begin to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of love of God that was revealed in Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for our sins. The only way you can comprehend this, you must be born again. You must have the Holy Spirit. And that is going to be the only way you're going to fully comprehend that kind of love for us. That's going to be the only way. Many people claim to be born again believers. Many claim to accept Christ at such and such age and all that stuff. But folks, let me tell you something right now. If you have never fully surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness of your sins and allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life to transform you into something new, then you're just an imitator and that's it. You're gone with the flow. You're not even real. I mentioned that last night in our Bible study. You're part of the vine, but you're not part of the roots. Sooner or later, you're going to be pruned, cut off, and thrown away. Or unless you decided to confess your sins to the Lord and said, Jesus, please come into my life and save me. You see, that's how we comprehend that kind of love when he died on the cross for our sins. That's when we know that we were dirty, we were rotten, we were filthy, we were nothing but sinners, we were separated from God, and God's wrath was upon us. And we were destined to go to hell. And those who still this day does not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, again, they, when they pass away, are in hell. We hear this a lot of people, oh, I think that person's in a good place. I believe they're better off. But folks, the fact is the fact. According to the Word of God, if they were never truly born again, they're in a far worse place. Some people don't like to hear that, but that's truth. That's biblical truth. I preach that truth. And this is why the death of Jesus reveals that love. He had to die for our sins, but it comes with a cost. We must be willing to die too. If we plan alone, and you're doing it for nothing. See, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, folks, that was true love. God gave up his son for us. And in an age that dehumanizes the individual and discounts the value of a person, we come to Calvary to see how great God's love is for us. It was divine love that conceived the plan by which we could be saved. It was divine love that brought God's plan down to earth. It was divine love that carried out his plan of salvation at the cross. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming the greatness of God's love for ourselves and others. The third reason we should consider how important the Lord's Supper is: the death of Jesus reveals the value of a lost soul. The death of Jesus reveals the value of a lost soul. And we see in the business world today that the value of a person is often revealed by the price an employer is willing to pay for his or her services. And in some parts of the world, human life, folks, is considered very cheap. That's right, in some parts of the world, human life is considered very cheap. If you really want to know the value of a soul in God's eyes, if you really want to know, you need to consider Calvary and see the great price that was paid for your redemption. You need to see, folks, you need to consider Calvary. You need to see the great price that was paid for your salvation. I think some people don't even see that. See, folks, Jesus came and he gave his life as a ransom to redeem us from slavery of sin. We were a slave to sin, but he came and paid that ransom and he redeemed us from being slave to sin. It is here that God places a price tag on the worth of the individual. How do I know? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says this. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You were bought with a price. Glorify God with your body. My wife, she even typed that last night, that we are to be glorifying God all the times in everything that we say, do, respond, and act. There was a little conversation about that this morning. You know, how do we address someone that's crude and mean to us? Same way Jesus did, with love. Show them Christ-like love. Jesus did it. He laid out the foundation for us to see. And this is how we ought to live. This is why the world needs to see the light that's in you. We need to be that beacon. We need to be that beacon for that darkness. That darkness cannot comprehend nothing. It needs to see the light. And yes, people are mean, but Jesus told us it was going to happen. But if we demonstrate true Christ-like love, the light of the Holy Spirit in us, it gives them hope, or they reject it and walk away. So glorify God in your body. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the death of Jesus Christ, the value of a lost soul. It comes to our fourth reason of why we partake of the Lord's Supper. The fourth reason is this. In proclaiming Jesus' death, we, you and I, announce the only way of salvation. In proclaiming Jesus' death, you and I announce to everyone else the only way of salvation. There is no other way. There is no other way except through Jesus Christ. John 14, 6 says so. But look what Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says about that. And this is Paul. He's saying this, and there is salvation in no one else. No one else. Look at that word again. There is salvation in no one else. Not yourself, not Dalai Lama, not Lulu, sing, whatever. Not in Oprah Winfrey's book of 50 Ways to Heaven. There is no salvation in none of that. There is no salvation in none of this world, folks. There is no salvation in pleasure. There is no salvation in anything except through Jesus Christ only. Jesus Christ only. That's why he says it right there. There is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. No other name. And what we see here, there was no other way to pay the price of our sins. No other way. Only Jesus himself could unlock the door of heaven to let us in. I should have wrote that down. I should have came in just right with this. But see, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And he asks, let me in. It's up to you to open that door. You can keep it closed, or you can open it and say, Lord, come on in. But he was the only one that had to pay that price. You see, our Lord died because the wages of sin is death. You get that? The wages of sin is death. Either we must die for our own sins, or we must accept the perfect substitute that God has offered us in Jesus Christ. Which one will it be? Which one will it be, friends? Christ or self? You decide. So in closing, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, let us realize that in this proclamation of death of Christ, we see the only way by which a lost and needy world can come to know the love of God and the way of salvation. And let us determine, those of you who's going to listen to this later on, those of you who are here now, let us determine, out of love for our Lord and out of concern for those around us, that we will go forth to communicate God's love to those who have not yet come to experience it in Jesus Christ. We need to be like John the Baptist. I'm the voice in the wilderness, crying out to those who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to let them know. If they have not yet experienced Jesus, then we need to talk to them and let them know why he died on the cross. Let us do this in remembrance of him. So now as we come to this time of partaking of the Lord's Supper, if you catch anything else in this message, my friends, please listen to this carefully. Please. And I'm serious about this. I have to be. Because the Bible already told me, as a minister, a teacher, I am going to give a higher account than you will. I'm going to have to be held at a higher standard than you will. So as we come to this time of partaking of the Lord's Supper, we should do some seriousness, reverent heart searching, and preparation for taking the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to explain to you why. You see, Paul is telling us before we even partake of the Lord's Supper, Paul says that we are to examine ourselves not to discover whether we are worthy to participate, but to determine if we are partaking in a worthy manner and for a worthy purpose. You need to examine yourself to see if you are partaking of this Lord's Supper tonight, and are you doing it in a worthy purpose? Because look carefully. Look carefully what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 through 30. This is the warning, and I'm not going to harp on this for a long time, but this is a very warning to you, those of you who are here now. If you're going to partake of this Lord's Supper, you better heed to this warning and make sure that you are right. Make sure that you are in the right standing with God. Make sure that your mind is okay, because if it's not, here's the dangers. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. And let each person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some had died. Some pastors I know, when they do the Lord's Supper, they don't like to emphasize on this passage. They like to do it, unfortunately, for show. Everyone in the church to partake of the supper. I'm not preventing any of you here tonight to partake of the supper. I'm not stopping you doing it. But when I was asked to do this, and I gave it some thought, and I said yes, but I'm going to let you know the seriousness of this. If you're going to partake of this supper tonight in an unworthy manner, be careful. Because as Paul said, some had died, some fallen ill, or you're bringing judgment on yourself that you are guilty. So make sure that you are right now in the right frame of mind. Make sure that you are in the right standing with the Lord and Savior. Make sure that you have confessed all your sins to Him before you came to this table. I implore you, before we partake of it, do so now. Do so now. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this special time and my faith and the faith of those who are here tonight. I thank you for a time when I must come to you. I thank you for the time when I must come before you and closely examine myself. And in doing so, I am to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. I thank you because as I carefully reflect upon myself, I know that I am unworthy of this, yet you loved me enough to allow me to eat the bread, which represents your body, and to drink the wine, which represents your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. And folks, let us honor the Lord. Again, let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for allowing communion to unite me with your people. You are the bread of life, and I have come to partake of you so that I may have eternal life, so that life can be brought to your body, both corporately and individually. Amen. And get your bread ready. And folks, Jesus said at the Last Supper, when he was sharing his last time with the disciples, he knew his time was running short and he was going to come to the cross. So this is what he said, and he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said with this, and he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Jesus, no words can ever express our gratitude and our amazement that you should die for us and die for our sins. We can't even comprehend this. How amazing it is that each of us in our own lives is so valuable to you that you will lay down your life for us, that you will go to the cross for us, that you will pay the penalty of our sins. And as we partake of this supper in remembrance of you, Lord, we do this in honor of you and not of ourselves. May the bread and the wine remain in us, within us, as we seek to take your message of love and grace into the world. Let us do this in remembrance of you and show people your ultimate sacrifice of what you did for us. And thank you for allowing us to honor and partaking of this supper for you. We do this out of love for you and in remembrance for you. In Jesus' name, we pray.